This article is brought to you by the best-selling books They Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Internal versus external conflict in negotiation, how both sides affect the outcome. The battle inside you is often harder to win than the one across the table. In short, conflict in negotiation has two faces: the disagreement you have with the other party, and the disagreement you have with yourself. Most people prepare only for the first kind and lose ground because of the second. External conflict is about competing interests between parties and requires tools for dialogue, trust, and finding common ground. Internal conflict is about competing priorities, fears, and doubts within you and requires preparation, self-awareness, and emotional steadiness. Both forms of conflict in negotiation shape outcomes, and skilled negotiators learn to manage both sides before the conversation begins. Definition: conflict in negotiation refers to the tension that arises when parties hold competing interests, positions, or needs. It takes two distinct forms: external conflict between negotiated parties, and internal conflict within a single negotiator wrestling with doubt, fear, or unclear priorities. Most people walk into a negotiation braced for a fight with the other side. They prepare their arguments, anticipate objections, and plan their opening position. Then they sit down, the pressure rises, and something unexpected takes over. Not the other person's resistance, but their own. Their voice tightens, their certainty evaporates. They concede something they never planned to concede, because in that moment they did not truly know what they were willing to hold. Conflict in negotiation is rarely only what happens across the table. In my 6 decades of working with people in difficult conversations, I have seen skilled communicators lose ground not because the other side outmaneuvered them, but because they never resolved the conflict within themselves first. This article draws a clear line between those two kinds of conflict, shows you how each one operates, and gives you a practical way to manage both. What internal conflict in negotiation actually looks like. Internal conflict is the war you wage inside your own head before and during a negotiation. It is doubt about whether your position is fair. It is fear that pushing too hard will damage the relationship. It is the competing pull between what you want and what you think you are allowed to want. I have watched people arrive at a negotiation with 3 different numbers in mind: the one they hoped for, the one they expected, and the one they would secretly accept. By the time they opened their mouth, those 3 numbers had turned into a fog, and the other side simply waited for the fog to clear in their favour. That is internal conflict doing its quiet damage. This type of conflict often disguises itself as flexibility or reasonableness. You tell yourself you are being open-minded when really you are being underprepared. Genuine flexibility is a choice you make from a clear position. Internal conflict masquerading as flexibility is a retreat that happens before the first offer is even on the table. Managing internal conflict requires preparation that goes beyond your BATNA or your opening number. You need to know your priorities in order, the point below which no agreement is better than a bad one, and the emotional triggers that might cause you to react rather than respond. If you want a framework for staying grounded when the pressure builds, the core framework for tense workplace conversations is worth your time before you sit down to negotiate anything significant. What external conflict in negotiation actually looks like. External conflict is the tension between you and the person across the table. It is 2 parties with different needs, different constraints, and different ideas about what a fair outcome looks like. It is entirely normal, and in a healthy negotiation, it is even productive, because genuine disagreement helps both sides surface what they actually care about. The mistake most people make with external conflict is treating the other party's position as an attack on them personally. A counterpart who pushes back hard on your price is not your enemy. They are doing exactly what you're doing, trying to get the best possible outcome for their side. When you forget that, the negotiation stops being a problem-solving exercise and starts being a confrontation. External conflict escalates when interests become entrenched as positions. Both parties stop asking, "What do we each actually need here?" and start repeating their demands louder. At that point, the disagreement becomes genuinely destructive because no new information is entering the conversation. If you have ever been in a meeting where a dispute between 2 people hardened into a standoff, how to handle conflict during meetings shows what that pattern looks like and how to interrupt it early. External conflict that is well managed, however, often leads to better agreement than easy conflict-free negotiations. When both sides challenge each other's assumptions and advocate clearly for their needs, they tend to find solutions with real substance rather than superficial compromises that quietly collapse later. How the two types of conflict compare. Dimension, internal conflict, external conflict, where it lives inside one negotiator, between two or more parties. Primary cause and clear priorities, self-doubt, view competing interests, opposing positions, how it shows up, hesitation, premature concession, inconsistency, deadlock, argument, positional bargaining. Effect on outcome weakens your own position before you speak, creates friction that must be navigated jointly. Primary tool preparation, self-awareness, emotional regulation, dialogue, active listening, trust building. When it peaks in the moment, pressure rises when positions harden and interests are hidden. Resolution path, resolve it before the negotiation begins, resolve it during the negotiation through engagement. The table above gives you the structure, but the numbers that matter most to a practitioner are in the final two rows. Internal conflict peaks under pressure and must largely be resolved before you sit down. External conflict often peaks mid-negotiation and must be resolved through the conversation itself. That difference in timing changes everything about how you prepare. Here is the truth of it: internal conflict that is unresolved at the start of a negotiation feeds external conflict as it develops. When you are unsure of your own priorities, you send mixed signals. Mixed signals create confusion on the other side. Confusion breeds suspicion, and suspicion hardens positions. What begins as your private uncertainty ends up as a full breakdown in the room. The two forms of conflict do not stay separate for long. Where internal and external conflict overlap. The honest answer is that these two forms of conflict are tangled together more often than they are cleanly distinct. A negotiation that is genuinely difficult on the outside, where the other party is aggressive or the gap between positions is wide, will almost always intensify whatever internal conflict you carry in with you. The reverse is also true. Your unresolved internal conflict will make an external dispute feel larger and more threatening than it actually is. I once watched a capable manager concede a significant budget point simply because the other person raised their voice. The external conflict was real, but manageable. The internal conflict, a deep fear of open confrontation that the manager had never addressed, turned a normal negotiation pressure into a moment of collapse. The other side had not won through better arguments. They had won because the internal battle was already lost. This overlap is why preparation matters so much. When you have done the internal work, you carry steadiness into the external dispute. That steadiness is not aggression or stubbornness. It is a quiet confidence that comes from knowing exactly where you stand. Understanding how unmet needs fuel conflict in the first place, including your own, is part of that preparation. How unmet needs drive team conflict explores this dynamic in detail and applies directly to any negotiation setting. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Three ways people confuse these two types of conflict. Conflating internal and external conflict is one of the most common errors I see in negotiation. Here are the three patterns that show up most often. The mistake: blaming the other party for your own discomfort. Why it happens: when you feel anxious or unsure, that feeling needs somewhere to go. Attributing it to the other person's aggression or unreasonableness is easier than examining your own preparation. What to do instead? Before the negotiation, ask yourself honestly, am I afraid of this outcome, or am I afraid of this conversation? The answer will tell you which type of conflict you are dealing with. The mistake: treating internal conflict as a signal to concede. Why it happens: discomfort feels like danger, and concession feels like relief. People mistake the reduction of internal tension for progress in the negotiation. What to do instead? When you feel the urge to concede under pressure pours, ask whether the concession serves the outcome or simply ends your discomfort. Those are not the same thing. The mistake: assuming the external conflict will resolve the internal one. Why it happens: people believe that if they can just get the other side to agree, everything will feel settled. But if your internal priorities were unclear going in, a reached agreement often brings fresh doubt rather than resolution. What to do instead? Resolve the internal conflict first. Know your priorities. Know your limits. Know what a good outcome looks like, then enter the external conflict with something solid to stand on. For situations where external conflict has already hardened into a genuine rupture between two people, the bridge method for rebuilding relationships after breakdown offers a structured path back. It works precisely because it addresses both sides, the relational damage between parties and the underlying tensions that each person carries individually. Resolving internal conflict before the negotiation begins. The single most effective thing you can do for any negotiation is to resolve your internal conflict before you walk into the room. That means doing the preparation that most people skip because it feels uncomfortable: examining your own fears and competing priorities honestly. Write down three things before any significant negotiation. First, your ideal outcome and why you want it. Second, your minimum acceptable outcome and why you will not go below it. Third, the scenario you're most afraid of and what you will do if it happens. This is not a formal script. It is a way of forcing your internal conflict into the open, where you can examine it rather than leaving it to surface under pressure. If you want a more complete method for navigating that internal tension before it derails a real conversation, How to De-escalate Arguments During Meetings contains practical tools that apply equally well to the internal preparation phase. Once you have that clarity, you carry it into the room as a kind of anchor. The external conflict can develop and shift. The other side can push, and you can respond with genuine consideration rather than reactive concession. Navigating external conflict during the negotiation. When external conflict is actively present in a negotiation, our primary job is to keep the conversation about interests rather than positions. A position is what someone says they want. An interest is why they want it. Most external conflict is driven by parties who have locked themselves into positions without revealing the underlying interests, which means neither side can find the creative solution that might satisfy both. Ask questions. Real ones, not rhetorical ones. Help me understand what is most important to you here is not weakness. It is the most direct route through external conflict to a workable agreement. When you understand what the other party actually needs, and they understand what you actually need, the disagreement often becomes narrower and more solvable than it first appeared. The deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate offers a clear system for doing exactly this when external conflict has turned resistant. Respect earns more ground in a negotiation than pressure does. This much I know for certain, not from theory, but from sitting in enough difficult rooms to see it tested. The negotiators who treat conflict as a shared problem to solve consistently reach better agreements than those who treat it as a battle to win. For team settings where conflict has disrupted working relationships more broadly, the deal method for team conflict extends these principles across a group dynamic. What separates a good negotiator from a great one? A good negotiator prepares for the external conflict. A great negotiator prepares for both. The difference shows up not in the opening exchange, where most people are still performing confidence, but in the middle of the negotiation, when pressure rises, when the other side holds firm, when a concession starts to feel necessary. That is the moment where unresolved internal conflict either holds or breaks. Mastering conflict in negotiation requires the courage to be honest with yourself first and direct with others second. The negotiators I have respected most over the decades were not the ones with the best tactics. They were the ones who knew themselves clearly enough to stay grounded where everything around them was uncertain. That combination of self-knowledge and relational skill is not a gift. It is a practice. And it begins every single time on the inside before it shows up on the outside. Frequently asked questions. What is conflict in negotiation? Conflict in negotiation is the tension that arises when two or more parties have competing interests, needs, or positions. It can exist between negotiators, external conflict, or within a single negotiator wrestling with doubt, competing priorities, or fear internal conflict. Both forms directly affect the outcome. How does internal conflict affect negotiation outcomes? Internal conflict clouds your judgment, weakens your ability to hold a position, and often causes premature concessions. When you're unsure of your own priorities or afraid of how the other person will react, you signal weakness before the conversation even begins. Managing it is essential to negotiating well. What is the difference between internal and external conflict in negotiation? External conflict happens between parties clashing interests, opposing positions, or a breakdown in trust. Internal conflict happens within one negotiator's self-doubt, fear of confrontation, or unclear priorities. Both affect the outcome, but they require completely different tools to resolve. Can internal and external conflict in negotiation occur at the same time? Yes, and they frequently do. A negotiator may face a difficult counterpart while also wrestling with personal uncertainty about what they truly need. When both are present simultaneously, the internal conflict tends to amplify the external one, making the disagreement feel worse than it actually is. How do you manage conflict in negotiation without damaging the relationship? Separate the people from the problem. Address external conflict by focusing on shared interests rather than fixed positions. Address internal conflict by preparing your priorities clearly before you sit down. When both sides of the conflict are managed with respect, the relationship can survive and even strengthen through the process. When does conflict in negotiation become destructive? Conflict becomes destructive when it shifts from a disagreement about interests to an attack on identity or character. It also turns destructive when one party uses pressure to force capitulation rather than genuine agreement. A managed internal conflict accelerates this because self-doubt leads to reactive rather than considered responses. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.